Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you for the fact that we can come to church. Lord, ever since I've been a Christian, I just wanted to be in the house of God. I just wanted to fellowship with other Christians. I want to be around them. I want to learn about Jesus. I want to be encouraged. Father, I guess I understand the reasons some people give for not coming to Sunday school or church or what have you. I get that. I'm getting to be an older person myself. I never could have imagined myself at 60 years of age, and here I am. I look at the people I went to high school with, and it's like, how did we get this way? But it's the process of time. And so I pray, Father, that you'll help me never to lose that desire. I thank you for the folks who are here that have that desire. I pray that we would be able to encourage that desire in others, but really comes down to you working in their hearts. We do think of this man arrested, and what a terrible, terrible life he's lived, and it is not a surprise he is where he is now. And we pray, Father, as his ex-mother-in-law told me, we pray that he is in a place now where he can get help, and he will get help. And he'll accept the help he'll get be offered, because there is help to be had. But so many people choose not to. I pray he really will embrace it and see the disaster of his life that he's made. Short of Jesus Christ, so many people would be where he is. Maybe even me. And so I pray that through him getting help, perhaps a Christian would be able to share the gospel with him as well and really give him the help he needs. We think of our country. We think of all the victims of the two plane crashes recently. Our hearts are broken for those families. I cannot imagine what it is to lose somebody in that way. I have lost someone in a terrible accident, but not in a tragedy like that. And so we pray for the families, the loved ones left behind, the friends. Father God, encourage them, show them mercy, show them grace, show them love that only you can, and let them be open to it. We think of the natural disasters in our country, some still going on. We pray for the brave people who are the first responders, taking care of those things. Guard their lives, Father, and we pray that you'd help bring these things under control so that the work of recovery could begin. Now we ask your blessing on our time together in the Word of God this day, and we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for what we're about to learn. And we ask this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I need to get a little drink of water here, sorry. So we're in Mark 12:38. This is the sixth of seven paragraphs in the chapter. And while you're turning there, I want you to see this is my fortune. I like Chinese. I don't like a lot of Chinese food. I'm not that adventurous, but I do like orange chicken. Okay, and so I get it, and I make sure that I tell them no broccoli because I'm allergic to vegetables. So, yeah, well, you can have my broccoli if you'd like it. So I was amazed because, you know, I believe in the fortune cookies, right? And of course, you got to eat the cookie if the fortune's coming to come true, right? And I am amazed at this fortune on this fortune. Your next Chinese meal will bring you more cookies. Yeah. Is that not the best fortune you ever read? I tell ya. Woohoo! Now, we laugh about that, and we should. And there's so many things, superstitions in life that people don't even acknowledge as a superstition, you know. I'm so glad we have the Word of God. I'm so glad we have the Word of God that is sure and certain and true. And all the heroes of the Bible are painted with warts and all, so we can identify with them. And that we have the Savior we have as presented in the Scripture. And so we're going to look now where in Mark 12:38 to 40 is this paragraph. So let's read this paragraph before we comment on it. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes. And that's who he's just been encountering, right? The scribes. Which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. You know, Jesus never minced words, did he? He never minced words. You know, people say, I don't like religion. Jesus didn't like religiosity. He didn't like religion. He liked that God desired to have a relationship with his people. You know, and what a long-suffering God. Because when they finally demanded of, when they finally demanded of Samuel that they wanted a king, and Samuel's heart was broken about that, what did God tell him? Samuel, they haven't rejected you, they've rejected me. And over and over and over again, God gets rejected by his people. And it's like they couldn't put two and two together or something, because he would smite them, he'd correct them, he'd try to get their attention, and for a minute they would turn, and then back to making them suffer long. We say long suffering, but really God had to suffer long. I believe this country was founded on Christian principles, and look at what we're doing today. And would anybody be surprised if we're in our right mind, our Christ-centered mind? Would anybody be surprised to think that some of what's going on in our country is God's judgment? And really, when we're getting close to the rapture, evil is going to be on the ascendancy. That's why for years people have said, oh, we're going to have a great revival across the country. I saw no signs to suggest we're going to have a great revival across the country. What I saw were signs of decay that continued to get worse and worse. I mean, if you believe different, that's fine. I don't have a problem with that if you have a different belief. But from me looking at the evidence of what's going on, you know, some of the governments that we've had to sit under, I think, are judgments from God. So, Christ now is talking to them. And this will make you laugh, because in my notes I have, here he is bidding the people to beware of the scribes, and by scribes, I think, by extension, he means the scribes, the Pharisees, all of the religious class, the religious elite. He's bidding the people to beware of their ambition and hypocrisy. And I noted, and it was 68 degrees on October 19 as I first studied out this section. A beautiful, sunny, blue sky day. Boy, I'd like to go back to that day. All right. Oh, yeah. So he says, beware the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. Now, verse 37 here naturally leads to verse 38. David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. The common people were happy to hear Jesus. And so then you see in verse 38, And he said unto them, the pronoun referent is to the common people that heard him gladly. He said unto them in his doctrine. He wants to get across some things to the people. He wants to get across some things to the people. And then when we get to verse 41, he's going to want to get across some things to his people. Do you know what I mean by that? His disciples, those who are with him. Because as I said, there is a funneling down in Mark to where Jesus is going to be dealing with his inner circle. And I'm seeing that even in Mark, not that this should be a surprise, but I'm seeing that in Mark 13 when we deal with the Olivet Discourse. So he's saying to them in his teaching, he wants to warn them about the hypocrisy. He wants to warn them about their ambition. He says, those who just love to parade around continually in long stoles or clothes, as one commentary paraphrased it. You know, if you've been around children any length of time, what's one of the things kids love to do when the adults are all there? I don't say make it loud and noisy. No, one of the things kids, they do love to do that too, but they love to be the center of attention and they just love to put on a show, right? And some kids will take it so far as to dressing up and, you know, and they want to show off what they did. I was one of those kids. I got magic tricks and I was thrilled to be able to do them. And boy, did I fuddle them up a couple times too, or more than a couple, you know. How silly we are back then. But that's an immaturity, right? That's almost what Jesus is speaking about here. Well, they love to go in long clothing. They want to be seen. They want to show off. What's the purpose of that? Again, the nature of, and we'll say Phariseeism, okay, there's a 25-cent word for you, but the nature of Phariseeism is pretense and show and outwardness. An outward conformity, not an inward transformation. An outward identity, not an inward one. That's where their power and their authority came from, by maintaining the outward appearance and getting everybody else to maintain the outward appearance, right? That's been their common complaint throughout the Gospel of Mark. I'm going to skip that. I have a commentary in here about the election, but I'm going to skip that. I don't think it's helpful. Which category do we want to be in? Do we want to be in the category that just comes for a show? Or do we want to be in the category that comes because we want to see what Jesus is going to do and what Jesus is going to say? And are we humble enough to allow him to change us? You know, you could pray for me. I'm not going to share the reason for this. It's an unspoken prayer. But, you know, have you ever gotten to a point in your life where you realize, boy, that stinks about me. This thing about me really stinks. I don't like this part of me. I've just recently come to a place where I realized, boy, there's a part of me that really is, that stinks. That makes me feel, that it's, you gain perspective from God, don't you? I mean, am I the only one that has ever gained perspective from God that made me look bad, made you look bad? I hope not. Isn't that how we grow? Isn't that how we mature? Isn't that how we move forward with Him? Aren't we supposed to be more Christ-like? I mean, it hurts our feelings, but Jesus went through the cross for us. Us getting our feelings hurt in that way, that's not a big deal, is it? But how often have people left the church because they got their feelings hurt or whatever? Like that song, Excuses, that used to be played heavily on the radio, you know? Preacher should be with dignity. You know, he shouldn't shout and snort when he's preaching. You know, he didn't shake my hand. He dared to shake my hand. I mean, you can't win for nothing, right? He says, beware, beware. This verb literally means to look at. Whether it's literal or figurative, beware the scribes. So if we're going to beware the scribes, what is he actually saying? He's saying, look at them. This is the example I'm putting up for you. It's a negative example, but I'm putting this up for you. And he's stating it right in front of them all. Jesus has no fear of them. You know, I'm glad that we have four Gospels because we have a more complete picture of Jesus. And in one of the Gospels, and I think it's in John's Gospel, when they come to arrest him, he says, and they're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, he says, I am he. What happens? They fall backwards. They fall down. Just the power of his presence and saying, I am he. That might not be one of the great I am statements we think about when we think about the I am statements. That perhaps is the greatest of the I am statements. And Jesus was not afraid of these people. He knew exactly what they were about. He knows exactly what we're about. You're stepping on my toes. Could you get on to the next point, please? Right. It says they love to be, how's he put it here? They love salutations in the marketplaces. They love to be the ones that are greeted. They love to be the ones who are acknowledged. They love this outward pretense. When he says, behold, it's almost like Jesus is warning, see them, for they want to be seen, but be sure you realize what you're seeing. Did you catch that? It's almost like he's saying, see them, they want to be seen, but be sure you know what you're looking at. Look at them for what they want. Have you ever noticed some of the more notorious sinners in our society? And notorious sinners are getting more and more acceptance, aren't they? There's no shame in our society anymore. You know? But some of the most notorious sinners, what's the thing that drives them? Look at me, look at me, look at me. Well, we are looking at you, and in the light of God's word, we see exactly what you are. And if you tell them that in the most loving and kind way, what are you going to get? How dare you say that to me? Right? Pastor and I were talking before Sunday school, just very this week, a well-known Christian activist who came out of a Muslim country and preached against Islam was shot dead in the middle of him speaking by Muslims. They have such a blind devotion to what they believe is true, they're willing to kill. Do we have an open-eyed devotion to what we know is true, that we're willing to die for it? I mean, the embarrassment of having somebody a track is enough to turn people off from witnessing ever again. I've experienced that personally from other people. You know, Jesus died so we could go to heaven. But more importantly, Jesus died so we could live for him now. He's not worried about us getting to heaven. He's got that covered. And whenever it happens, it'll happen. But what are we doing now to live for him? Verse 39, they loved the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at the feast. They loved to be ranked first and highest and to be elevated, to literally have the highest point, right? I mean, you know, monarchy. In the old days, where'd the monarch sit? On his throne. Where was the throne? Elevated. Why? Because people were holding him up as being important. Right? Used to be, and I don't know why we've gotten away from this, but it used to be that the pastor had to climb steps to get up to the pulpit. Because he was up there. He was elevated because he was a man of God and speaking on behalf of God. Right? I understand. I mean, brother, we should never lift you up so high that if you fall, we're going to be shocked by it. You know, we should not have you on a pedestal, but we should be praying for you that you never fall. You know what I mean? We should hold Jesus up. But there is an idea that we should give respect and deference to the office of the pastor, because you are over the flock of God here. God has called you here. You know? And most pastors worth their salt would say, no, don't hold me up. Don't hold me up. I never want to get above the level of being on my knees, because if I fall, I don't have far to go. And that's the best place to start if I do stumble, to be able to get back up, right? And I believe in your heart that is how you believe, brother, from talking to you. So please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, you know what I mean? Your jokes are not that good.
That's only because you're not telling.
Ah. Yeah, there's some truth in that, because I'm not telling them. That's true. But we understand what I'm saying here. You know, Jesus is giving us the anti-type of how we ought to be, just in our personal lives too. They love to be first for the head tables and for the feasts on special occasions. And this is the description of the Pharisees' piety and vanity and greed and hypocrisy. And Lord, help us never to desire that and to get to that place. And we were also talking earlier about some brothers who've fallen, because that's where they got. That's what I believe. They got too big for the britches. Verse 40. Which devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. Now let's just camp on the devour widows' houses. That is such an eloquent way of putting it, you know, of such a dastardly thing. They're devouring widows' houses. What are they doing? They're trying to live off the income that a widow might have. And in these days, widows didn't have a lot, if there were widows indeed. Isn't that why Paul commanded that the church should take care of widows who are widows indeed? Yeah. That's what he commanded. That's what God commanded. So if there were widows who were widows indeed, and they're wanting to take advantage of them, how would they do that? A lot of times they'd be put in control of their estates. And so that's how a lot of people get. And isn't it funny that it's never changed? Money is useful, but what does the Bible say? The love of money is the root of all evil. And that is so telling. That is so telling. And here's the thing, and for a pretense, make long prayers. I want you to actually go back in Matthew. It's going to take you, I think it's Matthew 6. Let me get my Bible marker. I don't have this in my notes, but I have it in my mind. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And one of the ideas behind their prayers was, and as I heard it explained one time, is that what they would do is they'd lay a prayer, and then they'd lay a prayer on top of that and on top of that, and they were trying to build all these prayers to reach up to heaven in an outward show, or at least for people to think that's what they were doing. So they would look at them and say, wow, what a holy man that guy is. Right? He must be close to God. Look at him praying. Well, that's the point. Why can you see them praying? Because they're standing there trying to get that attention. Look at me praying. It's just such a consistent message in the Word of God about these things. For pretense, as Garner and Howes, this is the Garner Howes Baptist commentary, and for a pretense they make long prayers, and under long cloaks of false pretense are praying long prayers. That's how they interpreted that. And under long cloaks of false pretense, they're praying long prayers. I think that's a nice turn, wordplay on what Jesus has just gotten done saying here. Desiring to be heard by means of long and wordy prayers, and often prayed on the street corners, and yet again, hear them, for they want to be heard, but realize what you're hearing. Jesus doesn't say that here, but goes back to the point. He says, beware. Beware. Literally, in the first instance, it was beware of what you're looking at, and now it's beware of what you're hearing. Beware of their actions and what they're saying and doing. And what does he say about them? They shall receive the greater damnation. They shall receive the greater damnation. Among believers who have the greater degree of understanding comes a greater degree of punishment. Let me say that again. Amongst unbelievers who have the greater degree of understanding comes the greater degree of punishment. And the opposite is true with believers. The more God has given us and gifted us and we've taken in of the Word of God, the more responsibility we're going to have towards God one day, the more we're going to have to answer for. So in one sense, for unbelievers, they're going to have to answer for all that they knew and rejected. Because again, weren't the Pharisees the Bible believers of the day? Yeah, they were the Bible believers of the day. But they weren't really grasping that and taking it to heart and letting it change them inwardly. They're all concerned about the outward. It may be that some of these conniving scribe and pharisaical demagogues went to widows' homes and after long prayers enticed them to assign properties to them. This is alluded to in 2 Timothy 3:6, where he says, leading captive silly or simple women. Remember that in 2 Timothy 3:6, Paul says that there are some who lead captive silly women. That's the kind of people we're talking about here. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 5. Look at what Paul says. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Paul right there is saying, we are not like the religious leaders of the Jews. We're called to something higher and something better. And look at Mark chapter 7. Something Jesus had previously spoken about. Chapter 7 and verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he had entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning this parable. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And I think Jesus is looking at these scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, that's what he has in mind as far as what they're doing on the outward appearance. Really very telling. Really very telling. Well, it's a quarter after, so this time has gone pretty far. We did get through a whole paragraph. We got one paragraph to go. And then we got the next chapter. And Lord willing, I'll be ready for that with your prayers. I would appreciate them. Part of the problem is, you know, I come home from work and I'm so tired, I don't want to do things and I can't think. I'm sure you're experiencing that. I mean, we really need to lift up Pastor.
It's gotten easy the last few days because I haven't got very many hours now. I'm a regular guy.
Yeah. Well,
we
want to pray that the Lord meets your needs both physically and spiritually and intellectually. Because it's all necessary for you to succeed.
Well, I'm getting used to my sleep schedule. Get up at 4:30.
Yeah. Getting up that early is not the most fun thing in the world.
And all I do is get up and wait for a phone call, which I haven't been getting, but I've been doing that late afternoon. But anyway, I think what the Lord has given, we've been very blessed that way.
But still, it's the point that, you know, it is a challenge. Yeah, it is a challenge. Yeah.
I always stay up to 10 or so.
Yeah. Well, and...
I'm not 40 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
You know, I have to keep reminding myself, I had a major heart attack. I had 5-time bypass. And that has affected everything about me, you know. So where I might like to stay up, because I get up so early for Sam and for myself to go in too. I'm not just laying it at Sam's feet, but I'm saying he's the impetus for getting up. So I take him, I come home, I get ready for work, and I go. 8 o'clock is like, it's time. I got to get up. It's time to make the donuts. That's what I'm thinking, yeah. That's what our life is. It's time to make the donuts. The old Dunkin' Donut commercial. All right. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time in the Word of God, and it's profitable for us. Let us lay these thoughts to our heart and take them into our soul and keep them in our mind, that we might give back to you what is your due, all the glory and honor, all the thanks, all the praise. And just remember that you humble us in the right way, that we might look up and see that you are a loving Heavenly Father to us, and that Jesus deigns to call us friend. And so help us to be good friends and to speak well of you and to do right by you and to do this in all things. And so we ask this now as we transition to the church hour. I pray if anybody coming or listening or watching today, I pray that if they are not saved, that the message today will get a hold of their hearts and lead them to salvation. And so we just ask that the Spirit of God would be free to rule and reign in the service. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.